Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who do not know, I had my V8 energy today. I do not move that fast. You can ask my wife.
Or anybody else.
There you go. Those that know me know I'm under the influence of a V8 energy drink.
You're thorough.
The web? Oh.
You're thorough.
That too. Brother Lumen is out in Virginia today. The birds and the Nixons are out in Florida today. If I had my preference, I'd be with the birds and the Nixons. No, I'm just kidding. And Daniel's working. But believe it or not, my weather app said it was going to be quite cooler than what it is. So, voila, I'm dressed for the cooler weather. Oh. But I did before I just share this morning, I want to thank Janie and that's Dolly and Noah and Kay today. We don't realize, I don't think anyone really realizes just what all is involved, and not just what all is involved in our services, but in the heart behind what's done. And it's not about learning something and doing it. It's actually about knowing the Lord, regardless of what we're doing. Because it's not about doing, it's about knowing the Lord. And just this morning, I was praying. Actually, I was praying yesterday, a little before, kind of on Thursday as well, just seeking the Lord, asking that He would speak his mind, that he would declare really what he wants to declare. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the Lord because he's always faithful, and he's always faithful unto his one end. He directs the attention of our heart and places it upon Christ, his Son. This is what God does by the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other work of the Holy Spirit, though God will do many things, and he has done many things, and he does do many things. All that God does, that God has done, and that God will ever do, is with that one intent and purpose, to direct our heart unto Christ his Son. That's literally what it's all about. And I can't remember if the last time I shared I mentioned that, but you've heard this before and you'll probably agree, because I sure did when the Lord spoke it to my heart, but it's all about Jesus. It really is. It really is. And somehow, and it's not just a somehow, it's the mind of man that does this, our natural mind, our brain, the thing between our two ears. After we're born again, we begin to either, for the most part, I'll speak of myself, my own experience, we begin to either look for more of something in the scriptures, or even with what's shared, that it almost comes across like, okay, now you're born again, now you need to. And see, when I was born again, and I'm not knocking any of this, because once again, this is a little bit out of my own experience. When I was born again with a fellowship that was really charismatic. So, hey, you need to function in the gifts. That's what I believed it was all about. You need to see the miracles, you need to see the signs, you need to see the wonders, you need to see people get healed. So, okay, that's what it's all about. But see, that's what it's all about for man when it's according to man's mind. But God has not changed. God the Father has not changed. He did not change for me. He does not change for anyone else. With God, it is still, if forever will be, all about Jesus. So you run the gamut with what we learn or what we're taught or what we think, what we believe, it's all, quote unquote, all about. And then after a while, you say, okay, well, I've done this. And once again, I'm speaking from my own experience. I've done this. Okay, I've done the miracle signs and wonders. I've functioned in the gifts. And is this it? That's the question that came out of my heart. Is this it? Is this all? And so the Spirit of God, because God is faithful unto His Son, and the Spirit of God is faithful to direct our heart unto Christ, is drawing the attention of my heart. So I ended up swinging from charismania to academia. And even in academia, where I can learn and study and read and search and do all this stuff, I mean, please don't get me wrong. I still believe in miracle signs and wonders. I still believe in studying the scriptures. I mean, those are my notes, some of my notes. But you can see I write all over the place. And there's verses in there, if you can believe it or not. There are verses in there. Right all over them. Actually, there's the verses. But see, with God, every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every gift, if you will, every study, every definition, everything that we can learn at a theological seminary or a Bible school, the Spirit of God can take that and use it to prepare the ground of our heart, to direct our heart unto Christ His Son. And see, that's the end. That's the end of everything of God. Bless you. I said it this way once in a tweet. I said something like, oh gosh, how'd it go? I'll paraphrase myself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the goal. Is the goal. The end. The purpose. The bullseye, if you will. Everything that is of God is the means to this end. That means if the scriptures of our Bible are literally of God, then they are the means to the end of our heart coming unto Christ His Son. And they are. If there is a miracle, if there is a sign, if there is a wonder that God allows, permits, does, then that is a means. A means, that's all it is a means for our heart to be directed that it may come unto Christ His Son. That's it. See, I didn't know this. I thought, I believed that the miracle, that the sign, that the wonder, or that the healing was an end in and of itself. But why would I do that? Because that's my mind. That's your mind. That is the mind of man. The mind of man is, whether we believe it or not, that tree moved. The mind of man is below. When we are born in the flesh, that's the mind we have. It's the mind of man. The mind of God is above. I think it's in Isaiah where the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And it's always like that. Remember, as I stated just a second ago, I thought that the miracle, that the sign, that the wonder was the end. But that's my mind. That is our mind. That's what we know based upon what we see with our natural eye, hear with our natural ear, and understand with this thing we call our brain, our mind, the mind of man. That is not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the eternal mind of God, which is above, that also is by seeing, but not with the natural eye. That is also by hearing, but it is not with the natural ear. And yes, indeed, it is a mind, but it is not the mind of man. It is a mind that is above, the mind of Christ himself. I thought about doing an example today. And the more I thought about it, I thought, wow, that just completely falls short of anything of reality. Because it's my example. But anyway, I'll do the example because I love doing stuff like this. This is just me. I'm a real visual person. But if anyone knows what's in my right pocket, right front pocket, and can tell me what's there, I'll give it to you. I will. Anybody want to take a shot? Wrong.
Okay.
Wrong.
Nothing.
Wrong.
Enough.
Wrong.
Money.
Wrong. Okay. Let me just for those who are viewing. I heard keys. I said wrong. I heard a pen. I said wrong. Someone said nothing. I said wrong. Someone said a knife. I said wrong. Anyone else want to take a shot? I mean, I'll give it to you. If you can tell me what's in my right front pocket. Hannah, I just let everybody know that if anybody can tell me what is in my right front pocket, I will give it to them. Want to take a shot?
A pen.
A pen. We already heard that one. Wrong.
Gollum's brain.
Gollum's brain. Wow, that's...
Ring.
Oh, the ring. I thought you said brain. Ring. Wrong. No, a ring. Wrong. What?
A note for
my wife, Kay. Wrong. Okay. Every response you gave me is something that's based upon something that we already know. The mind of man. Someone said something, oh, we all know what that is. Someone says something else, oh, we all know what that is. Now, the reason why I said that my example would fall short is because the object is found in this creation. It was made in this creation to be used in this creation, the creation of sight and sound, the creation of natural sight and the creation of natural sound. It requires a miracle of God every time to direct our heart from below the mind of man above unto Christ his Son. When our hearts are directed unto Christ his Son, then that is no longer our natural mind, but it is the mind of Christ. And you can automatically say, you will automatically say, and you will confess, it is not I, but it is Christ. It's an example, not my life, what I believe to be my life, but Christ who is my life. Not my righteousness, my being good for God, my doing the best. And please, you youth, obey your parents. But with the Lord, there is a righteousness, there is a doing good that is beyond the law. Jesus told the Pharisees, or It wasn't the Pharisees. He probably spoke to the Jews. And he said, except your righteousness, your doing good, exceeds, goes beyond the Pharisees. You cannot. It's either enter or see. I think it was enter the kingdom of God. The Pharisees were fanatic. They would study the scriptures. They would memorize the scriptures. I mean, to us, it's no big deal when we read the book of Galatians and see where Paul says, he's referencing Abraham and his seed. He makes it very clear. He didn't say seeds, plural, with an S. Well, we would add the S because it's English language. But he said seed, singular, one. And we read that and we just kind of read by it. But see, a Pharisee would take that to prove his point. And Paul, having a background of a Pharisee, used it to prove that Christ is everything that the scriptures spoke of. The blessing was unto this one. The promises were made unto this one. The inheritance was unto this one. That's the mind of Christ. That is the eternal mind. It's not the mind of man. So, I was thinking of one of... But isn't... With my example, wasn't... I mean, think about it. Everything we gave was something that we know about. A ring, yes, we all know what a ring is. A pen, we all know what a pen is. A note, we all know what a note is. A knife, we all know what a knife is. But it's based on a reference point, the mind of man. All right? When we are first born again, once again, it requires a miracle of God for this. I was born again at the age of 20. I went, I can't say religiously. Before I was born again, when I was a kid growing up, I went to service at least two times a year. That's what you had to do. Or at least that's what I believed you had to do. I mean, I wasn't born again. Christmas and Easter. And you better make Easter. If you don't make Christmas, that's okay. But you better make Easter. That was what I believed, you know, I had to do. So that's what I did. When I was in high school, I went to service because my friends, they were in a youth group and they would invite me. So I would say, okay, I'll go. At the age of 20, God did a miracle in my heart. He did what I could not do, what no man could do. The Spirit of God directed my heart unto Christ, and I received eternal salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. I received everything I would ever receive from God, whether I knew it or not. And see, that's the thing. When we're born again, when we receive Jesus, we actually receive everything that God created our soul to receive. And no more. Because He didn't create our soul to receive something other than Christ. Remember the very beginning? It's all about Jesus. That will not change. See, the mind of man down here below, even the Christian believer, if functioning by the mind of man, if the heart is submitted unto the mind of man, will say, well, it's about miracle signs and wonders, remember? I can say this. That's what I thought. Oh, well, no. We get beyond that because that's baby stuff. No, it's about this over here. It's about the lexicons, the dictionaries, the commentaries, the academia. No, that's all still the mind of man. The mind of man always, not sometimes, always has an object below. That's what we do. That is our mind, even the mind of those who are born again. Even the mind of those of us who are born again, though we have the mind of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. But we have the mind of Christ. So, the million-dollar question, what mind is our heart submitted unto? By default, our heart is submitted unto the mind of man below. That's by default. That's by default. That's why all the responses that everybody gave me to my question of what is in my front right pocket was everything that we understood, that we have seen, that we have handled, that we have tasted, that we have touched. We could understand that because it's all based on the mind of man.
So what is in your pocket?
Oh, you really want to know? Well, now curiosity killed a cat. I'm not going to show you. Oh, what is that? Does that upset anybody?
Yes.
No, I mean, seriously, does it upset anybody? I know it upsets Hannah because she wants to know. Oh, now my wife wants to know too. Great. Okay. Well, good. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. There is only one teacher, as there is only one Son, as there is only one Lord, one God, one Father of all. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Man, and I'm doing this on purpose. Sorry, Hannah, you'll never know. By me, you'll never know. At the moment of new birth, we have received an immeasurable gift. Jesus told the woman at the well, who was, we know she was going for water, and Jesus said, hey, you come to this well, this natural well, you will always thirst, and you will always come here. And then he starts speaking of himself. If you would have asked me, I would have given unto you living waters. And then he says this, right before he said that, if you knew the gift of God, who is before you. The issue was, she did not know the gift of God who was before her. Therefore, she could not ask. For she did not ask. Not that she could not, she just did not. She knew not the gift of God. At the moment of new birth, we receive the immeasurable gift of God, who is Christ himself. And it's great when you get at least on the same page as the Holy Spirit, or in agreement, I'll use that word, because on this, being on the same page is kind of like a vernacular, colloquial type thing. No, it's good to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit, okay? To be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. At the moment of new birth, we receive this immeasurable gift. But we're still looking below for something. But see, God knows the one whom we've received. God the Father knows the Son. God the Father is the one who knows the Son. My knowing of Jesus is by the natural mind. And yes, there does indeed come a time that the Spirit of God would bring our heart unto where it is not our knowing, where it is no longer the knowing of man below, but the heart, our heart, is submitted unto the knowing of God above. It requires a work of the Holy Spirit to do this. As I said, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the only one who can direct our heart unto Christ. And that is a miracle of God. See, I could not make myself be born again. I couldn't do it. In fact, one of the very first thoughts that came into my mind when I was born again, when I received the Lord, was, why didn't I do this earlier? The fact is, I could not. And I couldn't, and no man could ever or can ever It requires a miracle of God. Always. So, if it required a miracle of God for me to be born again, what makes me think that now I can know this life that I have been birthed of apart from another miracle of God? If it was something from above, something eternal, something of God that I received, what makes me think that I can understand it with my own natural mind? We have no concept. We have no concept. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It is, the Apostle Paul said this, eye hath not seen, could not see, has not seen, can never see, ear hath not heard, could not hear, cannot hear, and can never hear, that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But then he goes on to say, but he, God, hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Miracle of God. There's the teacher. There's the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, concerning the Holy Spirit, he testifies of Jesus. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he shall take that which is of mine, and he shall show it unto you. He will make it known unto you. This he does, I believe, taking the testimony and showing us the testimony. The scriptures, the testimony of Jesus in the scriptures. He does this. The testimony, what it does, it births in our heart the same exact expectation to see, to know exactly what Hannah said. What's in your pocket? Right? I mean, I gave you guys information. You gave me your responses. And there was an expectation birthed in a few of you, maybe all of you. But someone piped up, someone actually spoke and said, what's there? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does with the scriptures. He takes that which is of Jesus, the testimony that's found in the scriptures, presents it to us, fragments, gathers the fragments, presents presents the testimony of Jesus to we want to see. I want to know the real thing. I want to know, I want to see the real one. Show me what's there. And it's not with the Lord for us who are born again. It's not a what's there. It is who is present. I want to know who is present. Because I've heard so much. All of us have talked so much about this. I want to see for myself. Show it to me. And once again, the Holy Spirit doesn't show a it. He shows a person. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. Takes that which is of Jesus, declares it, shows it unto us, that our hearts will be prepared to be directed and brought unto Christ. Now, I've got to say this because I said our hearts to be prepared, be directed and brought unto Christ. I've got to clarify this. At the moment of new birth, still the same work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been preparing the ground of our heart for that one moment for us to be born again. At that moment, the Holy Spirit directs the full attention of our heart, places it upon Christ, and actually brings our heart to receive Christ himself. At that moment, Christ appears in our soul. And because he is found in our soul, now our soul is found above in Christ. Eternal life, righteousness, the list goes on and on. Okay? New creation, everything found therein, Christ and Christ himself. All right? So now we're born again. Christ is present. The Holy Spirit continues his same work, preparing the ground of our heart, birthing that expectation in our heart now so that our heart may come, this is the way I say this, so that our heart may come in knowledge unto where God has already, past tense, brought our soul in reality at the moment of new birth. That is a mouthful. And when it sinks in, you're going to say, wow, I want to know, Lord. What is our heart submitted unto? Is it submitted unto the mind of man? Or is it submitted unto the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the eternal mind above? Do I think that I'm in one place and Jesus is in another? That's my mind. That's the mind of man. The mind of God, God knows the Son. He knows who is present in the soul. He knows who is present filling the land. He always knows, regardless of what, listen, of what we know, He knows the truth. God knows the truth. The truth, who is Christ Jesus. Jesus also said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Another passage, Jesus says this concerning the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit, or actually the Spirit of truth, he mentioned, he just, the Holy Spirit, calling him the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth being Christ himself. Into all truth. All truth. He will guide you. Why do we have to be guided? Because our hearts, Isaiah said it, this is before you're born again, this is after you're born again. Get mad with Isaiah. Isaiah said it, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've all gone our own way. That's what we do. We want, us who are born again, you want to know what you do? You go astray. Ah, but what does God do? He's the good shepherd. God, by His Holy Spirit, remember, is continually preparing the ground of our heart to direct our heart unto Christ, His Son, above. This is what God does. Man does not do this. No man does this. No, not one. God does this. If it requires a miracle of God to be born again, it also requires a miracle of God to know the life of the new birth. Now, with an example of Noah and the flood, because I thought about this a little last night and this morning. Here's Noah, who's a type of Christ, and it's in the book of Genesis, I think like chapter 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, I'm not sure, somewhere in there, but definitely chapter 6. And the Lord says this, look below, there's none righteous there except one, Christ. Noah is a type of Christ. He's a type of Jesus of Nazareth. All right. So, and the Lord says, okay, Noah, I found you righteous in this whole generation, in this whole world. You're the only one righteous there is. You're it. No other, just you. So he says, so build a flood, or not build a flood, build an ark, because I'm going to bring about a flood and take care of this entire creation. That's what he does. There's this one creation. I'm going to deal with this creation. But you build an ark and your household, that's what, your household will be saved in you. And not only that, the Lord brings two animals of every kind, two testifying of a testimony. Yeah, two being a testimony. Two of everything of the whole entire creation. I used to believe that Noah escaped, that Noah and his household and everyone that was found, everyone and everything found in the ark escaped the judgment of God. Well, that's not so. That's not so at all. Because it rained on the ark just as much as it rained on the earth. And of course, the ark is a type of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection. We're going to see that in just a second. But judgment came upon everything when Jesus died. Because judgment came upon him. He bore it all. He took everything. man could not receive anything of God in the state that man was in. But God created the soul of man to receive Christ. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Well, that's one of the reasons he went to the cross. He went to the cross in obedience to his Father, having nothing to do with man at all. Direct obedience unto his Father. One of the results of that is that he became a door unto the soul of man to receive what it was created for. So here you have the waters coming down on an entire creation, on everything, and on Noah and those with him in the ark. Judgment comes upon all, destroys all. And with that happening, I mean, rains 40 days, 40 nights. With that, one of the things that's going on is that judgment comes here upon, you know, I'll just put a cross. Manifest on the earth, made known, the eternal cross, manifest in time. And during that time, the waters are falling, the waters are pouring, everything from the deeps was opened. And what's happening is that the ark is rising above the earth until it settles above. It rose high above the earth, and it settled above. That's exactly what happens the moment we are born again. In Exodus, the Lord, speaking to Moses, tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, "You saw what I did to the Egyptians." Remember the lamb, the blood on the doorpost and lintel, and then the Red Sea? He says, "You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings, unto myself." He didn't say chicken feet. He didn't say chicken wings. No, chickens do not fly. I don't care what the cartoon says. Chickens do not fly. All right? Unto myself. This happens at the moment of new birth. This is reality. This is the truth as God knows it to be. And I shared this once and it kind of freaked people out, but I told them basically this. If you look at me, I'll tell you, I have a resurrected life. Because my life is the resurrection, who Christ is. That's not based on my mind. That is based on the eternal mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so the students that I spoke that to said, "You're not in resurrection. I see you." And I said, "No, you can't see my soul. You can see my tent. You can see my outward appearance, but you can't see my soul. And I can't see yours." At the moment of new birth, Christ appears in our soul, and because Christ is present in our soul is now found above. This is reality. This is the truth, as God knows the truth to be. Man, on the other hand, once again, natural eye, natural ear, natural brain, understanding, says, "No, I don't think so. All my years of study, all my degrees, I don't think so. I see you." But man has to confess, "I don't see your soul." I mean, even has to confess, "I don't even see your heart." And I'm not talking about the organ that pumps blood. But even that, I can't see anyone's heart either. I can't see beyond the skin. I mean, I know we all have a natural organ called a heart. I can't see it. But it's there. And so with the flood, the ark rises high above the earth and finally settles above. Noah, after I don't know how many days, says he opens up a window in the ark, sends out a raven, and the raven came back, I think. Forgive me, because I know that he also sends out a dove. The dove came back. I'm not sure how many times he sends out the dove, probably twice. And one of the times, if not the first time that the dove comes back, I'm paraphrasing all this, but it is found in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, maybe 9. One of the times the dove comes back. Oh yeah, he sends out the dove. The dove comes back because he couldn't find a place where to land his feet. So he waits 7 days, opens the window, sends out the dove again. The dove comes back with an olive branch, with something of this new creation. And we still don't have, not even with that testimony, like an idea of what that means. It's like, think of your favorite restaurant, all right? You know where it is. You sort of know the menu, or at least you know the thing, the object you like to get when you go there. You know their prices. You know your favorite restaurant. But picture one day, that restaurant isn't there. In fact, the town isn't there. Nothing is there. What if it looked like the moon? Nothing is anywhere. An entirely different environment. And that's just a natural example. So the dove brings back an olive branch. Noah says, okay, the waters are subsiding. He stays back another 7 days, sends out the dove again. The dove this time doesn't return. It is just like this, like the Holy Spirit, the testimony, remember? Gathering the fragments, presenting the testimony to our heart little by little. So it'll birth interest, an expectation to see this new creation, who Christ is. Something completely other, not according to anything that we've actually known before. I mean, if there were a person in the 1920s and someone of this age, 2018, went back in time and showed them their cell phone, their smartphone, and say, look at this. That person in the 1920s would say, what on earth is that? You don't find that in my world. I'm not talking about time travel. At the moment of new birth, God, by His Spirit, has brought us into a new creation that we have no clue about, because the substance of this new creation is Christ Himself. It requires a miracle of God by His Holy Spirit to show us Jesus. He will take that which is of mine, declare it unto you. He will guide you into all truth, who Christ Himself is. No man can do this. Man cannot take that honor upon himself. He can't. It's impossible with man. If it was impossible with man to be born again, it is impossible with man to know the life of the new birth. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. With man, it is impossible. That is past, present, future. With man, impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And this is actually the desire of God, to make known the one who is present in this creation, the one that we cannot study and learn so much about. And please do not misunderstand me. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. But don't read it to then, because I said this, please, these are things that I said. I would read the Bible and say, okay, I got it now. Read some more, study some more, search some more words out. Okay, now I got it now. No, no, what am I doing when I do that? I'm putting a big stop sign in front of the Holy Spirit and saying, oh, I got this one. I got this one. I already learned about this. This is what I learned the other, Sunday or Monday or Wednesday, or what I read in Bible study. I got this one. No. Search the scriptures, read the Bible, search the Bible, present it to our teacher, the Holy Spirit, asking that he would do what only he can do. Take it, use it, birth in me that expectation that it'll make me want to see and know. Right? The very expectation Hannah talked about. What is it? Show me. And trust God that he will do exactly that. Because that is what he wants to do. The Apostle Paul also said this in the book of Galatians. He said, I think it's Galatians chapter 1. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, to make known his son in me, the one who is present the whole entire time since the moment of new birth, God just wanted to make this one known. What I couldn't do, what no man could do. Because he also says this, I didn't get this from man. I didn't learn it from man. I sure didn't get this from learning it from Peter. No, God did this. Not of man, not of the will of man, but God did this. There's one last passage that I just wanted to touch on, and it's the perfect, I call it the perfect heart condition that we can have in reading or studying or considering anything of God. The passage is in the book of Acts, and it has to do with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And this guy, he's in the chariot, and he's reading. He's reading it out of the book of Isaiah. So Philip runs up against the chariot and asks the Ethiopian eunuch, hey, he hears what he's reading, and then so he asks him, do you know what you're reading? And he says, how can I except some man teach me, show me? And then he goes on to confess, I don't know, except someone else show me. I don't know, except someone else show me. And then he says, who is this speaking about? Is it speaking of him? Is he talking about himself? Or, is he talking about some other guy? And I love the response. It said, from that passage of scripture, Philip began to preach Jesus. And the reason why Philip could do that was because the Holy Spirit was showing him Jesus in the entirety of the scriptures. So that is not my last verse. I forgive me. I didn't intentionally lie to you, but I thought of this one verse as I was talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. All right, back to the Holy Spirit real quick. And this will be our last verse. This is John. Dad, I'm already there. This is John chapter 1, verse 29. And this is just kind of like I don't want to say a spiritual order, but that's kind of like what it is. And I don't want us to go off trying to find all these quote-unquote spiritual orders of the Bible. No, that's not why God gave the scriptures. Once again, he can use a spiritual order. He can use a miracle, sign, wonder. He can use the definition of a term. He can use the context of a passage. He can use all that for his one end, to direct our heart and bring our heart unto Christ his Son. And that's what we have to remember in everything concerning God, is that the whole purpose is to direct our heart, the attention of our heart, and bring our heart unto Christ his Son. All right, this is John chapter 1. I'll start with verse 29. This is John the Baptist concerning the baptism of Jesus. All right. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and this is after John baptized him, coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And listen to John the Baptist. And if you begin reading the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, there was a man sent of God. John the Baptist was sent of God. They had gone, I think, about 300 or 400 years, and all of a sudden John the Baptist appears on the scene, there was a man sent of God. And this is what he said. Verse 31, and I knew him not. This is the man, this is a man who was sent of God. But he confesses his own ignorance, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 32, and John bare record saying, here we go. Here's where the order is. Confesses his ignorance. I didn't know him. I didn't know him. He was in the midst. I didn't know him. But John, you're sent of God, yes. But I still didn't know Jesus. I didn't know the Messiah. I didn't know the Christ. God the Father knoweth the Son. Jesus himself said it. No man knoweth the Son except God the Father. And no man knoweth the Son. Excuse me. And no man knoweth the Father except the Son, and he unto whom he will reveal him. All right. So it goes, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. From heaven. From heaven. I knew him not. The Holy Spirit drew my attention above, and it abode upon Jesus. I knew him not. The Holy Spirit draws the attention of my heart above and abides upon Jesus, abides upon a man. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. This is how God told John. This is how you will know the Messiah. This is how you will know the Christ. This is how you will know the one of whom it is all about. The Holy Spirit will draw your attention and will descend and remain, abide upon him. That's how you will know. And then finally, he confesses in 1 John chapter 1, verse 34, and I saw him. Or he says, and I saw. I saw. And I bear record. And bear record. This is my testimony now. This is the Son of God. There you have a perfect example of the work of the Holy Spirit, drawing the attention of the heart of not only those who are not born again, but here in a type, in a figure of those who are, even of those who are quote unquote sent of God, to draw the attention of the heart above where it's no longer my mind, what I think concerning Jesus, but unto the one whom God and God alone knows, where the Holy Spirit remains and abides upon a person. The automatic result, we confess, this is the Son of God. So, that's what I had for this morning. That was my last verse. Yes, it was. I don't have any more. Nothing up my sleeve. But that's the verse that I had, the last verse. And as kind of I stated a little bit towards the beginning and really throughout the whole sharing, not only this Sunday, but any Sunday, any service, any Bible reading that we do, any Bible study that we do, anything considering God, anything considering Jesus, present it to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would do that which he desires to do in our hearts for God's end and for God's purpose. Amen. It's a good amen to have. Lord bless you guys. We shall see you in a little bit with the food.